The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
We're glad you found us. This is UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory. Messages of Hope.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so excited. Every time we get these great guests and I get to talk to them for an hour and share them with you, it's just awesome. And today, my guest is a very special man. You're going to love his story. If you're used to this show, you know that I don't spend time reading a big, long bio because that's the purpose of the show, to dive into his life and let him share it with us. Our guest is Steve Farrell, and he is the co-founder and worldwide director. Is that the right title, Steve? Of Humanity's Team. And if you haven't heard about Humanity's Team, boy, you will today. Just let you know that when I first learned about Humanity's Team about a year ago, I don't know why I didn't hear about him sooner. I just said, this is totally in alignment with my mission. This is what it's all about. And you'll hear what it's all about from the director himself here in a minute. But I reached out and said, I want to be part of this movement. How can I help you? Would you like to host some of my classes on your platform? And they said yes. And since then, Steve has interviewed me twice as part of his Accelebration events. And I just love his energy. We have great energy together, which you're about to experience. So that's about the extent of my talking today for any long period. I want most of the talking to come from Steve, but welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Suzanne. And I am delighted to be here with you.
Well, everybody's going to just come to love you as I do, because you're just so positive and your life's mission is what life is all about. I feel right now that it would be great to tell people what Humanity's Team is and what it's about before we then go back to what led you to it.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, you bet. So I would love to do that. Well, we're now, hard to believe, almost 19 years old. We were founded in June 2003 in Wilsonville, Oregon. And Neil Donald Walsh and myself launched Humanity's Team back at that time. The story actually is in, and of course, Neil Donald Walsh is the author of the Conversations with God books. There are 9 of them. And one of them is called Tomorrow's God. And actually the story of the founding of Humanity's Team is in that book, where God and Neil are talking about Humanity's Team. So how cool is that? But so briefly, what we did back then, which was candidly very challenging then, not in today's world, we wouldn't call it as challenging, but we were launching it to focus on something very narrow and deep. And that is that we are all one with God, the divine, with Gaia, the earth, with all of life on earth, with the cosmos. That in fact, you know, this Big Bang thing that astronomers have talked about, where there was this very small mass that exploded, and that's now, many say it's a living, breathing thing, where it explodes, it goes out, and then it comes in and come back into a small mass and explodes again. It's consistent with this whole we are all one message, that we all were actually a part of one matter thing that's now exploded across the universe. But what people in physics share, Nassim Harriman, if you're familiar with him.
I am. I love his work. Still trying to wrap my head around it, but we're getting there.
Yeah. And science and math were not my thing either, but is that actually everything is deeply entangled, that it's deeply interconnected, that in fact, everything is still all one. That field that is the entirety of it is actually lives at a cellular level within everything. So back to our founding. So in June 2003, we launched Humanity's Team to just bring that message, that very simple message that actually is an ancient truth and a timeless truth. Those here on Unity know that this message actually goes back over millennia, right? That we are all one. It's only recently, in recent decades, that scientists have come in and that are affirming this truth and say, no, it really is. This is, our research leads us to this conclusion. We really are all one. So, because from the reason this is so important that we understand this, that ultimate reality actually works this way, is because in a sense, it's like the first domino. Because when we really come to get our head around this notion that, oh my God, you know, we're an emanation of the one, which goes by many names, right? God, the divine, cosmos, love, life, etc. But where we really get that, then what happens is just like when we get that we're a family, right? I'm married and I have two teenagers. Well, so we put, in a sense, fence posts around our, you know, our family. Well, I'm a part of a family. So, and there's a connection here between us, and that, and connection always leads to responsibility, right? So we have a responsibility for each other. Responsibility for mature always leads to positive action. Well, I'm going to take positive action, you know, to that which I'm a part of. So now, where we really get that it's not some ambiguous thing, this whole universe thing, that we really deeply are connected to and are one with each other, with the earth, with life on earth, with the divine, then the same thing happens. Those fence posts move out. We say, well, no, we're connected to this. It's not some ambiguous thing. And then positive action comes in where we say, well, I need to be in service to that which I'm a part of. And then that leads to this whole lifestyle, what we call conscious living, where we're, first of all, it's very fruitful for us where we live consciously. It's fruitful for our family and in our homes. And then as we bring it out into communities, it's extremely fruitful. And ultimately in the world, and in the world, this whole heaven on earth thing is what comes about. It's what we manifest together, where we're living consciously like this together.
You say it's fruitful. It's also peaceful.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Oh, we sleep well. We live well. The true definition of prosperity is here. And there's a financial prosperity too, where we're doing this, as you know, Suzanne, you talk about this yourself, is where we're in this real place of really pure service. And we're just really doing it. We're living in this connection and responsibility and service thing. There's this boomerang effect where, you know, oh my God, moments happening all the time of, oh my God, the resources I need and the people I need and the funding, everything is showing up. And it's
shows up. Yep.
Yeah. And it's not to say that life's challenges go away. They don't. There still are all the challenges, and we even can kind of get sideways. But we don't ever get over on our back where it's over. That's what goes away as we're helped, I'll call it, on this conscious journey.
So that's how humanity's team came about. What does it do to fulfill its mission of conscious living around the globe?
Yes, well, it brings in your classes and the platform, because, of course, when we're on the conscious journey, we don't have to any longer do the Western thing. You know, I come from Silicon Valley. I know we'll probably get to that, where you've got an easel and you're in the front of the room and you're doing planning sessions. Let's think this out. And it doesn't work like that. Now there's just this natural unfolding. The divine actually is we're working in concert with each other. There's a co-creation always going on.
If I could just interrupt there, that's just such a beautiful point, because you and I have both lived that world where you had to plan out everything. We felt we had to do everything. And when you get to the point of trusting the universe, it's so much of a relief to just sit back and watch how beautifully it unfolds. But you have to have that intention to work with God, spirit, the universe, life.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, it all... So we understand ultimate reality is that I call it to align with the divine, but it doesn't really matter what we call it, but where we come into that place of just connection and feeling, and where it's more down in our heart space, and the afterlife, we can be, which as you demonstrate all the time, Suzanne, is in touch with us, supporting us, guiding us, etc., where we just come in, fall into that place and live from that place. Then all of this magic happens. This miracle flow happens. All of these good things happen. So this is what in humanity's team, you know, we're still fairly small, I would call it, compared to my Silicon Valley days where I was, you know, I was in some huge organizations. We have a team that's about 20 that's full-time. And then we have another 20 that's part-time, and then another 40 that are very part-time. So it's a small organization.
Yet you're a nonprofit.
We're a nonprofit. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, this Buckminster Fuller thing where he talks about trim tab, right, which is like a ship. You could have a ship that's 1,000 feet long, and the trim tab is the thing when they hit the steering wheel, it just turns this. It's usually only a foot long. It's a fairly short thing in the water. And it just, if the ship is wanting to turn right, it'll turn this way, the trim tab in that ship. This huge ship will turn around on just this little 1 foot device that's in the water. And so Buckminster Fuller used to encourage people to find your trim tab. What is the gift? Where is the brilliance? What is the contribution that you can make that's going to have outsize influence, right? So nice. What was downloaded to us was, well, first our mission, as we state it now, is to make conscious living pervasive worldwide by 2040. So, and that's in 19 years, and that's a big lift, right? So our companion initiative to that is called PACE, which stands for Planetary Awakening, Conscious Evolution. And we just share, honestly, we say, we're not on a pace, you know, to do that today. Do you all agree? And would you help us pick up the pace? You know, would we, if we all do this together, we all find our own station in life, we can do this. You know, we can do this. And in this generation, this whole conscious living thing can manifest fully. So now, then the trim tab thing, what came to us was create a conscious streaming platform, first in English and then translate it, and then bring the price down because we're a nonprofit, so people can contribute to us. Financial wealth can contribute to us. So we just get the price, we get a service with the best conscious media, conscious transformational education programs that we can, it's streamed, which means it can go to any device, right? Internet. So can go to a handheld devices, television with Roku, Amazon TV, of course the computer, right? So, and then just curate that platform so that you're just bringing in the very best conscious transformational education programs at, with some frequency. So it's fresh with mentoring, which we do also, our faculty does mentoring. It also does coaching. As you mentioned, Suzanne, you've been a part of this. Suzanne has some incredible programs on our Humanity Stream Plus platform, which is this conscious streaming platform. And then extend it by translating it. So right now it's translating to Spanish. Then we'll go to other major languages. Then after we finish some other major languages, we're just going to take funds to bring our price down. So where we get enough contributions, we say, okay, we're going to offer it for half the price. And then more contributions, we're going to offer it for another half the price. Just bringing it down, 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 so that literally any home in any faith tradition, in any religion, on any part of the planet, region of the planet, can then receive all of this incredible conscious content. Because when we talk about conscious living and the things that Suzanne, you and I will be talking about, we've been through lots of classes. We've created our lots of classes. There's a lot of dimensions to it. You know, healing trauma would be a dimension. Conscious leadership, I created a program on that of just for me, kind of how did that work where I was starting and growing these Silicon Valley companies and then Humanities Team. And I just, in my own program, I just bring all of what my journey was of this is how it worked, the mistakes I made. But we were able to grow into this and create a culture like this. And so there are all of these. And then, of course, Suzanne, you've got programs on personal mediumship, on oneness, on these various things that are beautiful. You've got, as you know, very high viewership actually on your programs. They're on the platform. So that's our contribution. That's one of the key things. We have a Global Oneness Summit. Suzanne, you're hosting a panel this year. It's in October. So we do other things. We're a nonprofit. So like the Global Oneness Summit is free. The Humanity Stream Plus platform, we're focusing on bringing the price down, not up, you know. It's not like a for-profit where it's all about getting top line and bottom line growth.
Yeah, this is what I saw from the beginning. You all really walk the talk and your hearts are in the right place. Everybody's completely committed to this. And you you have a deadline. I love that, 2040. It's not just let's change the world. We're going to do it by this date. So you are feeling the pressure somewhat, even though you know it's spirit led.
Yeah. And that was a download. That was a download where it just was, when we were founded in 2003, the way it came through was awaken the world to oneness in this generation. It's what Neil and I would walk around with and all of us. And then what came through in the spring of this year was, okay, very specific, make conscious living, which just oneness and unity consciousness and the new spirituality, these various names fit cleanly under this umbrella that mainstream people can understand, conscious living. If people want to live consciously, and it's what it is.
What do you define that for those who may be new to the show, new to this whole concept? What is conscious living?
So conscious living is when we elevate our consciousness. So in unity, of course, there's it's about elevated consciousness where we really understand the things we're talking about here, where we're an emanation of the one, that we're actually eternal beings. We have an everlasting life. We have unlimited potential and capacities that so and the oneness means that there's actually no stop and start in terms of where I end and where Suzanne picks up. We actually are, you know, we're looking at a part of ourselves.
So give me an example of a choice somebody who's living consciously would make.
Yeah, well, they're going to be guided, you know, this whole process that we're describing where we're in this flow. And of course, you go deeper into that, even Suzanne, where you have the gift of mediumship, which you train people to do. So you can feel guides and afterlife, and because there's a great deal of influence here from the other side, if we can open ourselves. But a part of it as well is just this, we're an emanation of the one. So deep intuition, guidance, even support, there are miracles happening all the time in my life. And it's just from just staying open. The way I live is in this open state. Crown chakra, all of our chakras, open state where, you know, the gift of the divine working as in co-creation with me is beautiful. I wouldn't have it no other way. I have my own spiritual experiences and processes during the day to just stay open, to have this work through me. So that alone is extraordinary in terms of how all of that works. Now, and then you multiply it manyfold once you can create a culture, like in humanities team, we have this culture where we're all doing it together. And the normal things that happen where, well, no, I want to have my idea. I want my idea to be the one that we implement, you know, and the sharp elbows, all that stuff melts away. We're not trying to get my idea. It's a pure thing that we're in support of. Where you're seeing the gifts in each other. There's a diversity here. You're grateful for other people's ideas, grateful for the best idea that can raise the bar, that can extend the reach and the impact. So it's a whole different way of working together where there's this appreciation and love for each other and support for each other and all of these things, where the synergy thing of 1 + 1 is equaling 5 or 10 or something. It's not 2. Where you work together in this way. So when we talk about conscious living, then there are many dimensions. It's a personal level. It's a collective level, like in an organization where it's a conscious work or conscious business. And then it has this whole, like even Suzanne, you and I, where we work together just out in the world, connecting on very different levels, working on things where we're just inviting people to come into the fullness, to live this way, where our lives are just so amazing compared to what they were when we were, I'll call it more unconscious and just doing the old Western world American dream kind of thing.
Well, I hope those of you listening or watching on the YouTube channel later after the live broadcast are saying, I want that. That's how I want my life to flow. And it's totally possible. Both Steve and I came from backgrounds where we were not living consciously, yet there was always something underneath. And this might be a good time, Steve, because we'll come back around to what Humanities Team is doing. But to talk about what led you to this and the life you led before, I've spent the good part of the day reading your book that's going to be coming out soon. When do you expect that to come out?
Yeah, I think it'll come out in the fourth quarter of this year. Yeah,
okay, soon enough for me, because yeah. I'm really, really enjoying it. But it's Beyond the American Dream is the title of your upcoming book, and I got an advanced copy of it. And I love how you were always seeing the best way to do things, striving for things, even though you may have missed the mark as a young child. But I mean, here you are at 6 years old, you got your first job, right? Or 9 years old, you had six jobs, something like that. But let's go back there about your work ethic. And then I would like you to take us up to when you made this switch as a CEO of a very big, fast-growing company to conscious leadership. That's fascinating. Let's go back to just a brief tour of your childhood and how that led to where you are today.
Yeah, awesome. Well, my parents got divorced when I was in the sixth grade, and there were seven siblings counting myself. So my mother had a big job to where she was the one that remained in the home with us as she got a job, a full-time job as a legal secretary, a very bright woman, so it wasn't necessarily tapping all of her potential, but she needed a job. We needed the income. And so I grew up, as you mentioned, just from a very early age with jobs, different kinds of jobs, which was fantastic. It set me up really for the life that I'm having now, where I learned responsibility at a very young age. I paid for my braces when I was in the sixth grade.
I want everybody to notice what he just said. He paid for his own braces in the sixth grade. You bought a car with monthly payments of $10. I mean, it's just stunning to me how you really had to take care of yourself and how that led you to your work ethic. But let's jump ahead here, because I found this fascinating, that here you end up being CEO of a company on the, what, 500 list was it?
Inc. 500, yeah, a couple times, right.
Yeah, a couple times. And yet your very first job, they almost didn't hire you because you had no business education.
Right. Yeah, no, I'd never taken a business or accounting or finance or any. I was a political science major. So I was lucky they didn't fire me on the spot when I showed up that first day out of college. But all that work experience from when I was younger did come through, and they were like, wow, he maybe doesn't, it's just kind of learning accounting, but he really kind of knows his way around business from having so many jobs when I was in a very young age. So I did get promoted quite rapidly. And then I got picked up by IBM back in the 80s.
You share with everybody, if you remember it from your book that made me laugh, when you went to a sales training course, the not so polite way the head of the class let you know you maybe weren't cut out for this?
Right. Yeah, no, I my whole life I've been underestimated, and I don't know why I like that. So that has happened many times. What I like about it is when the expectations are very low, well, you can just blow people's minds, with, wow, I really was seeing you kind of here, and this was the upper limit. And I like being in that place where people feel like that's the upper limit. And, oh boy, we can really go further than that, versus the opposite, where maybe Harvard MBA, which I am not, and people would have these huge expectations, and maybe you would or would not exceed those. So I liked being in a position where I could always exceed people's expectations.
And you did. That's what's so impressive. I mean, over and over, people really did kind of pigeonhole you there as this a C student or not the greatest salesman. Maybe you might want to try something else. And you just blew them away. And I think that's so affirming for those who maybe people haven't encouraged them their whole lives, or maybe right now they're talking themselves out of what's possible. But there's that spark within all of us that lets us know there is no limit.
Yeah. No, the divine, truly, there is no separation. That's part of conscious living, right? So there is really no separation, and the divine is within, indwelling. So this notion that we're separate and there's a God in the sky, that's, it just isn't true. And so we really have to adjust our ultimate reality and really deeply understand how life works, because then we can play the game of life the way it was intended to be played. And where we stay in these skewed realities of separation and one life and Then we start doing this crazy American dream thing of the planet is dead. We can treat it like a refrigerator. You know, let's just go climb over people to make money. All this stuff that leads to a very unfulfilling life. It really does.
What I love about your story is it is one of those go from the business world to the spiritual world, but you weren't that climb over everybody person. You did give it all up for this, but I love that it's not exactly the same story as the one we often hear about.
Yeah, no, and this is the wonderful thing here is if you, this is an audience that is very conscious, and where you bring consciousness into a business, either as a founder or manager or leader or as an employee, it's extraordinary what you can do. Extraordinary. Because essentially being conscious is just being truthful. It's being loving. It's being in service. Now, when you bring those things to business, and also there's not a differentiation between the janitor and the president of the United States. In the sense, a janitor can walk in the room. This is an embodiment of spirit, just as the president is. So in business, then with vendors, which are often the lower level, and you know, you're treating vendors very respectfully.
I
treat everybody very respectfully. And guess what? The world loves that. I mean, your business will take off. It will grow where you bring this, where you create a conscious business. It's what allowed me to co-found Humanities Team with Neil, because—
All right, and we're gonna have to come back after the break, Steve, and talk more about Humanities Team and more about how you made that break. So everybody don't go away. We'll be right back.
Practical spirituality, positive messages. This is UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back. You're listening to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesemann.
And I know you're enjoying this talk as much as I am with Steve Farrell, the co-founder and worldwide executive director of Humanities Team. Steve, I find it so interesting that earlier this day, I was scanning my bookshelves looking for a specific book, and I was absolutely snagged. That's a term that many of the people who follow my work know, just caught by this one book, this white cover. It jumped out of me, and it was Neil Donald Walsh's Tomorrow's God. I had completely forgotten that that is the book that started this Humanities Team movement. So fascinating. Let's go back to when you read Conversations with God and it changed your life. What was your position work-wise at that time and family-wise?
Yeah, I was the CEO. So this was in 1994. And I started this first company of mine called ENS, which was a technology company in January 1990. So I was a co-founder with another guy, and I was the CEO. We were actually going through really very fast growth. We were probably 15 or 20 million at that time in revenue from zero when used furniture and stuff when we started. And so the particular story which I tell in the book is, I was very troubled. I was reading the Bible and talks about being obedient, and I was really troubled by this obedience thing, because I was thinking, you know, I have a love affair with God and this whole notion of kind of putting in a bit in my mouth and just be obedient was troubling me. And this was when my mother and my sister called and they said, you have to read this book called Conversation with God, book one. And then a lot of back and forth. That friendly did read it. And it early in the book says that I never asked for your obedience. There, you can't be in communion and in a creation space and obedient both. So what I enjoy is the creation space where we're creating together, not obedience where I'm blindly asking you to just do this and do that and this and that. doesn't work that way. And it so I was just astounded that my question was answered just starting that book.
There's my goosebumps. I get them every show.
Yeah, validation. Book changed my life. That was the, you know, most of us that are on this conscious journey, there was some door opening device, something happened. This was the big thing where I read the book, and just this whole God of my understanding from the time I was a child came through, where this God that I loved, but when I was an altar boy in the Catholic Church, I wasn't feeling it as much, you know, where the priest was saying, hey, you know, you need to put more wine in there and less water and whatever. It didn't feel very loving. Whereas this whole divine that comes through in the book is very loving. And also the truth just was the truth kind of as I'd felt it, as I'd understood it. So it was very affirming. And that was what led me then to make all of these choices that ultimately I sold everything. I left my business associations. I moved from Silicon Valley to Boulder, Colorado to do the work I'm doing now.
And I enjoyed reading in the book, which if you're just joining us, it's not yet available. So it will be later in the year. But you were so enthusiastic, and I totally get that. But your colleagues were not. And your wife is spiritual, but she wasn't as totally blown away by this as you were. So at first, you started changing your leadership style at work. Can you give us examples of that actually caused people to say, something's changed, Steve?
Yeah, well, you know, first, the big thing for me, which this sounds silly here now, but it just frightened me to the end of the earth, was as I was becoming conscious, I realized I could not be in integrity any longer with the full on day planner where I had everything planned out by the 15 minutes and the tasks for everybody. And which, by the way, day planners work real well for a lot of people, but I was following it too closely to it, where it was just always delegation of now you need to do this and this and this and this, and then the other person this and this and this. There was no heart opening of I'm feeling into this, what are you feeling into? And how can we really kind of raise the bar and do more and go further? That wasn't happening because I was so task oriented from my day planner. So I felt I had to throw out my day planner. I did. And
you say that just like, okay, so I did, but when you say that it scared you to death, I think that's actually kind of funny that this was such a huge step. You literally threw your day planner out and let yourself be guided. No more yellow sticky notes on everybody's computer. Do this.
Yeah, exactly. All of that ended. And then the magic happens. And of course, people did come to me and say, you know, you're kind of almost a little bit like a priest, you know, now as a CEO, there's this very deeply spiritual feel to you. Is that, what's that about? You know, where are you coming from here? And I just said, well, you know, I've read this book, and I was reading other books too. And just as I'm coming to really explore what the fullness of life is, I'm really kind of seeing it differently. I'm feeling into it differently. I'm seeing my own opportunity differently. Words like proud don't make sense so much for me anymore. So I just kind of was explaining this U-turn that I was making. And they said, well, I don't know. I don't totally understand it, but I like the way you are. You know, this is really working for me, the way you're relating to me.
So there are a lot of people now who are not feeling fulfilled. They need their jobs. They enjoy their jobs. What is the definition of success that might differ from what people may be focused on?
Well, success, where we go to our station in life. So Suzanne, and you've told your story many times here with your radio program as a medium, as an author and leader and all these things. And then me, where I went to my station life, starting humanities team. Now I've got this beautiful team I work with, growing it. Also colleagues and partners, Suzanne, like you're a colleague and partner with the Stream platform. There's other amazing partners that we have. So we're just kind of, it will unfold for us where we just let it unfold of this station in life thing where, so I started it. It wasn't anything. It wasn't a 501c3, you know, so we start it, then it becomes a 501c3. Then we.
That's a nonprofit organization for those that don't know the numbers and letters.
right. And then create organizing governance documents and all the way to today, 19 years later. Now we're growing like crazy. we would be Inc. 500. We'd actually be Inc. 100 last year if we were a private company that were, you know, following, that were reporting our growth. But now it's not the top line thing that we're after, because as I mentioned, we're not, as a nonprofit, our whole thing is conscious living pervasive worldwide by 2040. And it actually starts by just us individually, all listeners that are here now, it's supporting people on their conscious journey. So it's very individual as the first aspect of just supporting people, you know, that they're also an expression of the one, of the divine, an emanation of the divine, and just supporting people so that the journey can feel safer, can feel supported, can feel guided, and that it becomes less arduous, this whole life process. Because as people really start down this path, it becomes easier and easier and easier. This boomerang effect thing comes in, where we get all of these synchronicities and things, these miracles and things that happen, that lead us to the right relationships, the right workplace. All of these things just kind of start falling into place. And we're growing like crazy, and as we need to, you know, if by 2019, we're going to, the whole of humanity is going to be conscious. Wow, we've got a lot to do.
Oh, wait, when you say by 2019, and so now we're just
2040. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know where the 2019 came from.
You just popped into the realm of no time, no space, Steve.
Right, I did.
You talked about miracles happening. Can you just give us an example of any kind of miracle that you just knew you were on the right track with this?
Oh, there's so many. So I'll share one that might sound that people probably can relate to. I mean, my wife, my kids were miracles. Make this abundance or prosperity in my Silicon Valley days that allowed me to, I still don't draw a salary. So, and that was 20 years ago that I left. So what happened then when I left is the
divine. So I love that. You are the worldwide executive director of humanity's team, a nonprofit, and you don't take a salary. Tells you something right there. And you don't need to, because you had this background, but still, it just says so much about your values. So sorry, let's go back to the miracle.
Yeah. So one is what God told me when I took this on was, I will help you. So, what I do is I invest conservatively so that I can, you know, do what the work I'm doing without salary. So in 2007, you might remember, July 2007 was when the market hit a high and then it dropped like a stone for a couple of years. I was guided to be completely out, you know, in July 2007. I was completely out.
Goosebumps again.
And that was what, because if I had been in, even with conservative investments, then I would have been taken down. I couldn't have done the work that I'm doing. So that's one, you know, that was very substantial.
Yeah, just for anybody that's new to this program, when the goosebumps come on you, on me, on any of us, to me, that's a God wink. That's spirit just ruffling through your body saying, yep, it's all one connection here.
Right.
Wow.
It is. Yeah. No, we just trust it. This is, again, supporting people on their conscious journey. When we're earlier in this process, and I know this is probably true for you too, Suzanne, you know, our legs aren't as quite as strong. It feels very experimental, but as we journey deeper and deeper into it, we get really strong. We know with certainty this is how it works.
Yes.
And then we're, you know, we can even go further faster and we can help others.
Yeah. It's like the Nautilus shell. Start out small, it goes around and around. You see this throughout all of life, all of nature, and it just grows exponentially. And it starts with that trust and that faith that you had. It was more than just faith. It was a knowing in you, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, it was a knowing. Yeah, because my father and my brother and friends came to me back in that Silicon Valley day when I was making my big decision to unplug and leave, you know, all of my business associates and the organizations and the venture capital groups and things that were. So I was, you told me your story, Suzanne, of where you were. There was a very high paid thing that you unplugged from, your husband went with you. Likewise,
Most people don't know that part of my story, but right after retiring from the Navy, I did a little bit of strategic planning consulting for a company. And then right around this time, my abilities opened up and it was more money than I'd made in the Navy. It was nothing big compared to what you're talking about, Steve, but it was very nice. And I looked at Ty and I said, my heart's not in this. I need to devote myself 100% to the spiritual side. And God bless him. Ty blinked a little bit, but he said, I support you fully. So yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah, which is beautiful. And Stephanie, likewise, my wife, supported me fully when I just unplugged, sold everything. There was a venture capital guy on my board who really loved me and said, I'd like to put you on some of my boards. And it's very lucrative what they'll pay you to go on boards and help entrepreneurs and things. But I just knew the whole reason I was leaving and unplugging was because I needed to give myself fully to this spiritual journey. And I'm not one that could be juggling in board assignments and spiritual work. So
wow.
I declined that. And I didn't even have, for a year and a half, I didn't have anything to do before we founded Humanities Team and got going.
I didn't get that far in the book. I thought you already had the Humanities Team plan. So how did that come about? And how did you handle that year and a half of just trusting that you were supposed to do something?
Yeah, and there were real synchronicities in there too. The second company that I started, Netegy, we sold it on September 10th, 2001, one day before. Oh. And if it had not happened then my life would have been very different, but it was sold that day before.
Or 911,
911, right, yeah. 911. There had been so many synchronicities like that. I just trusted it that I didn't know where this was going to go, where it would take me. But I just knew from my whole life story, there was something unfolding and I just needed to trust it, be patient, and it would unfold as it should. And it did, of course.
Well, how did it unfold? How did you end up with Neil Donald Walsh? You read about him in a book. Was he some untouchable figure out here? Or how did you come together?
Yeah, you know, in the 90s, he had a little newsletter and he reached out and he said, is there anybody out there that has done anything with this spiritual material in a business context? And candidly, I thought the whole world was doing, you know, the book was so extraordinary. I thought, well, the whole world is changing and I'm like one of like millions. So I wrote in and said, yes, I've put all of these practices in place through as a result of the book. And so they wanted to fly me up and meet Neil and his wife. So Stephanie and I flew up, met him. And I said, I'd be happy to just help you out, you know, for free. If you need advice on growing your nonprofit or whatever you're doing, I'd be happy to help out or lead your planning sessions or whatever. He had me come up, lead one of his planning sessions, and we stayed in touch. I helped him on some things. And then it was in about a year and a half later that he called me and said, I'm going to create a planning session for this thing I want to launch called Humanities Team, a nonprofit. And I was one of 20, but I was the only one in the room that came in and helped them launch it. And then the rest is history. We started flying around the world for 9 months doing meetings, and then he needed to pull out because author, speaker, and his own nonprofit, he couldn't keep up with it anymore. So he asked me to take it on.
Wow, around the world. And that was 21 years ago?
So 2000, well, it was 2000, it was about 18 and a half years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that our first meeting was in Prague in the Czech Republic. And then 6 months later, we did another meeting in the Netherlands, in Prague. And Neil did those two meetings with me. And then the meetings after that, we went to Turkey and Istanbul and et cetera, many other locations. Neil was not able to go to those. He went to a couple that he could fit into his schedule, but we'd bring him in via Zoom or Skype or something.
This was before we had streaming platforms for courses, which is one of your main ways of changing consciousness now. What were the initiatives at that time that got people inspired and fired up to be part of this movement?
Well, and in those early days, we really were not, we didn't know. And we were kind of fishing around for different ideas and things. We didn't have anything that worked. And we didn't have any way of monetizing, therefore, our work. So I was working with an all-volunteer team. That became a real pressure later when a lot of these talented people said, I need to have an income. And so this, we just started looking at ways we could monetize it. Doing these upgrades where you pay for transcripts initially was, and then it was really wasn't until about 4 years ago that we started offering transformational education programs. And as a nonprofit, we're pointed in a different direction. So and this Humanity Stream Plus platform that we've talked about, of course, has these, like your program, Suzanne, you've got, I think, 4 programs up there now.
I do.
And there are hundreds of programs, and they're different. It's not like a for-profit where we're talking about how to triple your intelligence or work out, you know, do a physical workout and a third of the time. We don't do things like that. What we're doing are conscious things of, again, healing trauma, awakening to what Homo Universalis, Barbara Marx Hubbard has a couple of her programs up there. Neil Donald Walsh has a program called Our Final Frontier. We're actually launching here in just 2 days on Saturday. We're launching a brand new program with Neil and Michael Beckwith. It's called Discover Your Soul's Purpose. And our demographic has been calling for this program for years, and we went out looking for faculty, and we thought, wow, I mean, this is the dream team, Michael Beckwith, Neil Donald Walsh, and we're just launching it now, which we're real excited about.
Very exciting. Cool. Good stuff all around. So your wife, Stephanie, she went along with you giving up the, were you flying around in Learjets, that kind of lifestyle?
Yeah, it sounds very much like your husband, Suzanne, though I don't know him. I haven't met him yet, but very supportive of me back in the day when I was making this decision, leaving all of the big money lifestyle behind. I went to her and I said, Stephanie, I love you. I have this calling now. I know I need to do this for, you know, I need to go do this now, this spiritual journey thing. And I hope it can work for you, you know. It's like a calling. And she said, let's do it. You know, we'll unplug and we're going to make it work. And then we adopted our 2 kids and made it work. And, it's more than made it work. We're incredibly blessed. We have a beautiful home here in Boulder. It was kind of the gift I could give my family from Silicon Valley days, because the rest of our life is more of a budget, but I live in a gorgeous home and I have a beautiful family and the work I do is amazing. I work with people like you, Suzanne, and others that are extraordinary. And
well, it's just you're modeling what happens when you come in alignment with our higher purpose. So not everybody is meant to lead an organization. Not everybody is meant to be running a nonprofit. How can others align with their purpose? Those who are listening want to know that. I can hear them.
Yeah, well, let me just say, there's so many that will share their concern. There's some fear of in following their life purpose. And really, if we just go, it's a going within process, of course, right? It's not the church or our parents or friends or family that are going to guide us. We're going within. We're listening to what our soul is bringing to us. And it's not like some little voice that's very hard to hear. It actually is quite persistent. If we take the time each day to just go within and listen, I promise you, you will get guidance. And
I could just stop for a second. Those of you who might be new to my work, check out the YouTube video, Sip of the Divine, if you don't even know where to begin. That's a 3-minute practice, and you can do exactly what Steve just suggested using that practice, SIP, Sip of the Divine. So yeah. Yes. Okay. So you listen to that voice inside, you are saying.
Yeah. And we also don't need to feel like there's some huge pivot we need to make today or tomorrow or next month. It often doesn't work that way. So it's more of just kind of listening in. The station in life starts to become clear. It usually ties to our gifts, particular contributions we can make, but we start journeying more in that direction than people we're aligned. We get connected with people that are also good at that. And the whole thing just starts unfolding for us. So it's just trusting that process and not worrying about what others think. My family, most of my family, my friends, I thought I'd lost my mind. It was like, how can you monetize that? And I didn't know, you know, and now we are monetizing it with our educational program so that most of my team is, you know, we're getting them closer and closer to market salaries, and we'll get them to market salaries one day.
I love that, because you're acknowledging we are in a world that where you do need to eat and make a living, and yet it's not about that. That ensues, like Viktor Frankl said, success ensues from a dedication to a cause greater than the self. That's what you have.
Yeah, it does. And this whole, you know, let me just also just let's back up and look at the forest view here, because I'm bringing that down to a very personal level. But we are in truly everlasting beings. We have unlimited potential and capacities. This is one chapter of hundreds, if not thousands, of lives that we've lived. So we want to take advantage of the incredible opportunity this life is. We're only here for a very short time in the scheme of things of what this everlasting life is. So we want to truly just hone in on that contribution we can make, the gifts that we can bring to the world through our particular life. And we don't want to waste a day. So it's an incredible gift that we have here, where we're in relationship with each other and the earth. And there are many challenges here. And where we all give ourselves to the world around us, this whole first domino thing of I'm in connection with it, I'm now going to be a positive influence. Our lives just are so magnificent. And then now we're really the whole feast and gift of what everlasting life is, we can live into in its fullness.
It's beautiful. And I love that it applies to everyone. It doesn't matter what work you're doing, what your specialty, everybody has something to give.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. And people want to trivialize of, well, it's not this or that. You know, there's nothing is trivial. The gifts we have are extraordinary. They're God's gifts. And we don't want to play those down. They're huge, you know, where they're just helping one other. It's huge. So we really want to feel into that and enjoy the self-image that comes from our contribution.
Beautiful. Well, this hour is going way too fast. What would you like to share in the final minute, besides how to find Humanity's Team online?
Yeah, well, so you can find Humanity's Team, just it's with a Y. I think IES is reserved too, but Humanity's Team with a Y.org. You go there, you'll see it says become a member on one of the big graphics when you come to the site, and you can click on that. That takes you to the streaming platform we've been talking about, Humanity Stream Plus, where you can go check out Suzanne's courses. There's a browse feature at the top. Just enter Suzanne Giesman, and you'll see all of her courses there. If you haven't taken them,
that's okay. We don't need to talk about my courses. Time's running out. Your final words of wisdom for everybody here, Steve.
Yeah, and just really, you know, this isn't like we've got to sacrifice here and live a conscious life. It's the opposite of sacrificing. Mm. Give yourself the gift of the unbelievable prosperity that comes to you where you live the conscious life.
Wow. What a beautiful point to end this show with. Steve Farrell, thank you so much for blessing us with your wisdom, your presence, your beautiful, loving energy to the whole world. Everybody, come on back next week and just have a beautiful, blessed week sharing exactly what Steve has shared today. We love you all.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Do you ever feel that calling that you should be doing more with your life? If you're unhappy with the status quo, I can help. My name is Elias Patras, and I'm an intuitive motivator, psychic medium, and motivational speaker. I know that feeling, and on my podcast, Your Inner Voice, I can help you answer that call to step into your life's purpose. I will show you how to recognize and listen to the signs and signals that are all around us and help you tap into your intuition. Join me for the show here on the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network and wherever you get your podcasts. Let's connect, educate, and grow on this journey together.